I mean, fear is such a major player in our lives. And then we wonder why we're so tired at the end of the day. Then we wonder why we use and abuse alcohol or other stuff. You know? Yeah, it's not a life, really.
Hello, and welcome to Love as a Business Strategy, podcast that brings humanity to the workplace. We're here to talk about business, but we want to tackle topics that most business leaders shy away from. And we believe that humanity and love should be at the center of every successful business. I'm your host, Jeff Ma, and as always, I'm here to have conversations and hear stories from real people about real business, about real life. And my guest today is Cedric Bertelli. And Cedric is a recognized expert in emotional resolution, a revolutionary approach to emotional healing that has transformed the lives of countless individuals. As the founder and director of the Emotional Health Institute, Cedric has dedicated his career to helping people overcome stress, anxiety, depression, PTSD, and other negative emotions using powerful tools and techniques. After a drastic career change, Cedric began his journey into emotional resolution in 2009 in his home country of France. And since then, he has honed his expertise and developed a deep understanding of how emotions function in the human psyche. His work has touched the lives of people all over the world. And at EHI, Cedric and his team provide training and education to mental health professionals, coaches, and educators, helping them to integrate emotional resolution into their practices. In addition, Cedric works directly with clients, providing individualized support and guidance to help them overcome emotional challenges and improve their overall well-being. With a passion for empowering individuals to take control of their emotional health, Cedric has transformed the lives of countless individuals, and his expertise continues to drive innovation and progress in the field of emotional healing. And I am so excited to talk to you today, Cedric. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Cedric, emotional resolution is so intriguing to me. And we talk about love a lot here on the show. We talk about leadership and behaviors. And at the core of all of that, there's always the emotional component. And a lot of times, it's hard to kind of segregate or differentiate our emotional kind of needs and tendencies from the logical needs and the tactical things that we need to do in a workplace. So I'm very excited to dive into everything you have to share around that topic. But before we do, I want to just hit you a little bit around your journey. So your passion. Can you share a little bit about what gets you up in the morning and how that came to be in your life?
That's a great question. What get me up in the morning? Many, many things, actually. My family, my partner, and our two daughters. That's an immense source of joy for me. My work, which doesn't feel like work, it's something that I do more than pleasure, than anything else, and just the pleasure to walk the word, really. What gets me up in the morning. You know, it's for as I know, we only have one life. So might as well live it with intensity, and intention, and that that fill me up with joy, even when some days it's not easy, even when sometimes in session I hear stuff that you don't want to hear. There is still this thirst for intensity and for life.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that. And I want to dive into almost immediately here, because I know there's so much I want to cover. But can you kick us off at a high level, maybe? Because, you know, emotions go in a lot of different directions. And one of the ones I wanted to focus on today, and it's not necessarily an emotion of itself all the time, but we deal with fear a lot. in our workplace and in life, to be honest. So can you kick us off with just, I guess, a primer around fear and emotions as a whole, and as they pertain to how we show up at work?
Yeah. I think that one of my, one of the chances of my life is I'm not a therapist. I didn't start as a therapist. I started working in hospitality business. I was working for the Ritz-Carlton for many years. And I was director of restaurants for them. So I had like over 100 employees. And it was very interesting to see that when you manage that amount of people, you do not manage people, you manage their emotions. You try to always create, if you want to obtain good result for your guest and your team, you always try to put your staff, your employees, in an environment where they will thrive. So the coworkers, the task, the type of client, and because if they thrive, if they don't feel triggered, they're going to give the best of themselves. They're going to work for joy. Now, to talk about fear, if we look at our life currently for us, let's say adults, a lot of the fear that we are experiencing, and for me, anxiety is a fear. Depression is a bunch of fears. The fear that we are experiencing in our lives most of the times are not congruent with what our life is. A lot of the fear that we are experiencing are not actually relevant to what our life is providing us with. Our job with emotional resolutions is to resolve these fears that are not congruent with our current reality. Because when there is no fear or less fear, then you talked about love earlier. When there is less fear, there is more love. There is more flow. There is more thriving. There is more pleasure. And that's what we're looking for. We know today how disruptive emotional patterns are created. We know how fears are maintained in our life. We understand that recurring anxieties, recurring fear, recurring phobia, recurring depression, all it is an obsolete prediction from the brain. Our brain has many qualities and many jobs. But one of the main jobs of the brain is to predict based on past experiences. We also understand where fear, recurring fear, come from. At the beginning of each one of our recurring fear is always an instant of trauma. Now, what is trauma? Trauma is just an instant that hold too much stress, physical or emotional, for us to take on at the moment when we live it. And what is happening during this instant of trauma? It's a moment of dissociation. Basically, our cognitive mind is dissociating. The cognitive mind has also many roles, but one of the main roles of the cognitive mind is to filter information. What you and I were aware of right now is about 2,000 bits of information per second. That's what you're aware of, what I'm aware of too. And we process that at a speed of about 150 miles per hour. At the same time, your subconscious mind has a potential to gather 400 billion bits of information per second. And to process this information at a speed of 150,000 miles per hour.
Wow.
So when there is a traumatic incident, the cognitive is shutting down. So we don't suffer too much during this instant of trauma. But when the cognitive shut down in this moment of dissociation, the subconscious gather an immense amount of information available during this instant of dissociation. And this information is purely sensorial. what you smell, what you sense, what you see, what you taste, what you feel in your body during this instant of dissociation. Later on, when your subconscious finds itself in a situation when it recognizes one or several elements that was present during one of your traumatic instants, it is going to generate, it is going to predict what physical sensations you're about to feel in your body. It's going to generate the same physical sensations that were felt in your body during a specific trauma. These physical sensations, we call that somatic markers or interoception. That's how we know that we're experiencing an emotion. When we do I make sense so far?
Yeah, and if I understand correctly, this is our body and our mind trying to protect us from having to go through that same trauma again.
Correct, 100% correct. Our mind, our subconscious mind, and our body spend literally its life to try to protect us, trying to protect us.
Yeah.
That's its role. The problem is we never gave an opportunity to the brain to update these predictions that create these emotions.
Makes sense.
And the reason is, as human being, we always control. If you look in nature, you can look at any mammals in nature, they do not hold on to trauma, except some domestic animals, because we control them, and some farm animals. But animals in the wild do not hold on to trauma because they do not control what's going on within them. When you or I, we feel anxious or angry or frustrated, we try to control. We hide it, or we take some deep breath to relax, or we blame it, or we try to change our environment so we're out of what makes us feel weird.
Yeah.
We always control ourselves or our environment. We never let this sensorial prediction playing out until the end. And that's the secret in order to resolve an emotional difficulty, is to let this sensorial prediction, the sensations in our body, playing out until the end without any kind of interference.
Mm. And that will then update our latest understanding of what that would be like.
That's right. It will update our emotional software.
Incredible.
We can all do that. But if I work with a coworker and this coworker makes me feel stressed or tense, I'm not going to let my sensation play. I'm going to blame him. I'm going to avoid him. I'm going to be sometimes nasty with him. We are always in control.
Yeah. This makes so much sense. It's almost like too simple. Like the way you've put it together, it makes so much sense. And so my natural next question is, well, then how, I guess, do we get to that point where we can let it play out? Because fear, from my experience and my personal experience and what I know of it, I personally position it as the opposite, as you said, it's the opposite of love. When we first wrote Love as a Business Strategy, the running kind of joke was that the opposite of this was fear as a business strategy, which is what we personally see all too often right now in the corporate environment. And then if you think of just a standard work day played out in our lives, or you know, portrayed on media, it's one fear after the other. It's fear of getting fired, fear of disappointing your boss, fear of letting your team down, fear of, you know, your own standards not being met, fear of everything. You can put fear of in front of everything, and it seems like every decision we make is driven by preventing, like you mentioned, some kind of feeling coming to the front. So how, like, it feels so pervasive and so ever present in our lives. How do we work our way out of that?
Just to jump in, what you said is, you're right. I mean, fear is such a major player in our lives. And then we wonder why we're so tired at the end of the day. then we wonder why we use and abuse alcohol or other stuff. You know? Yeah, it's not a life, really. I mean, it is, but it's not. So how? Well, we have to change our paradigm. In a sense, we have to put ourselves first, right? It's like we have to see, I'm afraid of disappointing others. Instead of working harder based on this fear, I'm going to address the fear. I'm going to address the fear. I feel like I'm disappointing. I feel like I'm not enough and I'm about to disappoint you as my boss. Instead of like frying myself in work even more and to increase my workload or my intensity of work, stop and boom, recognize that, yeah, there is a fear in me. How do I know it? Because I'm filled with tension. Now, okay, the only thing I have to do is close my computer, go in the bathroom if I'm at work, because I don't want people around. It's very important to do this work that the body feels safe. If your body doesn't feel safe, for example, if you're next to me in the next cubicle and I sense your presence, my body's not going to feel safe. Mm-hmm. So go to the bathroom maybe and take the time to close your eyes and to sense your fear. How do you do that? You feel the sensations in your body. You feel the tensions in your body. It's important. I'm going to be very technical. It's very simple. Yeah. It's important to feel at least two sensations at once. So that take attention, right? You have to remove your attention from your workload, from your boss. You have to turn all your attention inside of your body. When you do that, you will notice that the sensations do not stay static. They start changing. We call that the transformation of the sensations. When you have a fear that is not an actual, when you're not actually in danger, right? When it's just a fear, the sensations, and you pay attention to the sensations are going to start moving. Now what you got to do is the most difficult. You've got to do nothing. You've got to remain attentive to the sensations as they change in your body. If your attention weakens, you're going to go back to your mind. And you're going to think about work, you're going to think about your wife. That's too late. You have to remain intensely attentive to the sensations in your body as they change. The sensations will change for about 2 seconds to 90 seconds, never more. If the sensations are not done changing and disappearing within 90 seconds, it's because you did something to interfere with the natural skill of the body, or you were not feeling safe. The sensations, if it's well done, will change in between 2 and 90 seconds. At the end of the 90 seconds, you will just feel a sense of calm. Whatever created this fear will never create this fear again. Once an emotion is resolved, it's not coming back again. Once the prediction is updated, it's updated until proven wrong, so to speak. And if you think about it, Jeff, we update predictions constantly. Constantly in our life, we update prediction. That's how we learn. And when do we update prediction? When we're not stressed. When we're not stressed, we update prediction constantly. And we constantly learn and improve.
How does that work with, you know, in the example of, let's say you have a tight deadline to meet and you're pushed up against the clock and it's due today or yesterday and your boss is demanding it. You're feeling all these things, and you go into the bathroom and you sit with it and you sense your fear, you acknowledge, and the time passes and like you said, if done properly, it's changed. What does that look like when I come out of the bathroom and I come back to the world where this work still needs to be done? What should that look like now? Or how does that story play out in this hypothetical situation now that I'm now coming back and, well, I don't have any more time to do it. It's still something that must be done. What's changed now for me as that employee?
You have full capacity. You have you recover your full cognitive capacity. That means that you have a situation, and emotional resolution is not going to change the situation. You have a deadline, you're behind it. Now, if you're calm, you accept what it is and you adapt without pressure.
Yeah.
You face the situation for what it is without extra pressure. Now, how is it going to look like? I'm not sure. Maybe you reach out to the boss, but you're not tense. Say, well, this is what happened. This is why I'm behind. But you have full control over the actual situation. It doesn't change the situation, but now you can accept the situation, adapt, and act. Because chances are, if you did not reach the deadline, it's probably because you procrastinated, maybe. Yeah. And if you procrastinated, it's because you had fears.
True.
And so, to be completely honest, if you feel like completely crushed by the deadline and the body feels like there is a danger, then you might need to reach out to a practitioner, because the MRS practitioner will be able to make you feel safe. When you do it by yourself, you might feel too crunched by the boss pressure, by the deadline. So that's when you need some help sometimes, so that somebody can take care of you, create a safe environment so you can do the work.
So it sounds like in this example, I'm really picturing this like very acute and strenuous kind of situation. What about the almost day-to-day mundane fears? So I'm talking about, like I mentioned earlier, I can have 15 different fears in a 5-minute span. And they're all small. They're so small that they feel like they're just, that's just life. That's just how things are meant to be, because there's just micro fears, right? I'm just like, oh, I hope I don't miss this deadline. Oh, but in 5 minutes I have another meeting, and all these things just kind of pile on into a general sense of stress, but it's not overwhelming yet. It's not quite, you know, to the point where I would even trigger me to go to the bathroom and think about the fear itself. It seems like normal.
That's where we need to change our paradigm. You know, Van Gogh, the painter, said, our smallest fear are the captains of our life as they lead our life without us ever noticing them.
Mm.
What you mentioned, Jeff, there is completely right. Like we are packed with tension on a daily basis, and we think it's normal. That's the one, the second most difficult thing of the work, right? The first one is to do nothing when you feel in fear and to be in attention with the sensations. No breath, no nothing. Just boom, be with the monster inside. And the second most difficult thing is to not accept to feel tense if you don't need to feel tense. If you feel tense, if there is this vibration of tension, discomfort, stop, boom. And take responsibility for it. Because if you're tense and we're meeting, I mean, it's very primal. If you and I, we meet for the first time and you're tense, not because you're meeting me, but because of something that happened at home before you left, because of a conversation you had with a friend, whatever. If you enter the meeting and you feel tense, I am going to sense it. And I'm not going to sense, oh, Jeff is tense, something might have happened at work. No, or at home. No, I'm going to sense your tension. If I sense your tension, I'm going to tense as well. And that already is going to give a dynamic to our meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're not going to have a productive conversation. And I'm going to go back to my desk and say, where's something about this Jeff? Like something about him, I don't feel him. There's nothing to do with you. You just had a bad day. And my body sensed your tension. So he had tension. It's very primal. It's like two dogs, right? Two dogs come in front of each other. If one is tense, the other one is going to tense. Why? Because if you're tense, on a very primal way, I feel like you might attack me. Mm. You become a hazard. So I'm going to tense as well to get ready to defend myself. It's all subconscious. But this level of tension is going to create dynamics in our relationship.
Do you have any, I guess, this type of work obviously is your bread and butter, and this is how you've helped many, many people through this. For those just listening and they want to start practicing this, yeah. Is there any quick advice you can give to help? Because this is not something that's going to come naturally to many people. I know there is this conscious effort we can make to recognize in those big moments the time and space we need to practice it. Is there something we can do like now proactively when we're not yet stressed to prepare ourselves?
Yeah. So when we're not really, if the emotion is not in you, that's when you need to work with someone, a practitioner. That's when people who come to see me with anxiety, with fear, and most of the time when they meet me, they don't feel that. So we re-trigger it very specifically and we resolve it. But there is moments when you will notice, I mean, we all know that, when there is nothing, we're on our couch, watching Netflix, and we have a thought about tomorrow meeting, and there's already an anxiety there.
Yeah.
Boom, that's the right moment. You know, all those anticipatory anxieties, most of our anxieties come in anticipation of something that is not actually happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even like fear of public speaking. I mean, I would say 75% of people who have fear of public speaking are afraid before stepping on stage or stepping in front of the camera. Once it's running, they're good. So to answer your question is, well, when you're at home, when you're driving, and you have a thought, you have a feeling, but there is no danger there. There's nothing going on. You're at home. You're seated on your toilet, maybe. Boom, that's when you do it. Your body feels safe. A thought, if something crossed you, your body reacted with anxiety or fear. Boom, close your eyes. Feel the sensations. Immerse yourself in the physical sensations. Give it an intense attention, two sensations at once. And keep on feeling the sensations as a change in your body, even when they become uncomfortable, because they're going to become uncomfortable. They're going to become uncomfortable, but they are not new. You carry them every day anyway. This time you're just conscious of it, and you don't try to ease them. That's it. Be with the discomfort as the sensations change until things go back to a state of homeostasis. Open your eyes, move on with your life. Hmm.
The last bit I want to connect on with you is the other side. So love as a business strategy and the element of love. When we say love as a business strategy, we're often talking about a very personal thing, a very individual thing, but we're also talking about a culture. We're talking about collective behaviors. How do you see kind of this emotional resolution, but also this addressing of fear or fear itself playing in the dynamics of culture and of getting in the way of love, really?
You know, if we're not constantly triggered, if we're not constantly busy by our tensions or our fears, then there's a lot of space for listening to each other, being present for each other, and for love, for joy. And nowadays, we don't really listen to each other. Mm-hmm. When you speak, I'm already thinking about what I'm going to answer. And often it would be vice versa. If there is less tension, there is more presence, more attention. And then it shifts the whole relationship.
I love that answer. That was perfect, the way you put it. I'm sold. I mean, that's a hell of a reason to be working on ourselves in this way, because what I just heard from you is that it enables us to actually practice the positive things we want for ourselves. Getting these things out of the way opens us up to love. So
yeah, with that trying, because you know, we're good people, most of us, and we're trying to be present for others. We're trying to do a good job. We don't have to try so hard. When we put ourselves first, and it's not selfish. It's actually very important to take care of our own tension and emotion first, so that we can be a positive element in the world. Yeah.
Cedric, I really appreciate what you shared today. It was packed with really, really good wisdom and insights. I know I'm going to go practice this myself. I get the feeling I'm going to spend maybe the entire first few days in a bathroom. So just lock myself in there and just yep. work from fear to fear to fear.
Yeah, do it. It's so worth it.
I will. And I hope the listeners got similar impact from it as I did. And it's an amazing. So Cedric, thank you so much for the time and the space you've given us today.
My pleasure. And thank you for the opportunity to talk with you. Thank you.
Thanks to the listeners. We hope you enjoyed this episode and all the other ones yet to come. Please continue checking out the book, Love as a Business Strategy. And we really appreciate all of you for tuning in. We really do. I know the audience has been growing. We're getting good feedback, but we want to continue to kind of give everyone more and more perspective. There's episodes you want to hear about, the other topics you would like to have, please let us know. And we'll keep doing what we do here and keep bringing on amazing guests like Cedric. So we hope you enjoy that. With that, we'll be signing off here and we'll talk to you next week.